I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Welcome, welcome back to America's Heroes Group, the radio talk show. I am here with the host of America's Heroes Group, Cliff Kelly, and I'm the co-host, Colonel Damon Arnold, our executive producer, Glenda Smith, digital media producer, Manny Carazari, and assistant digital media producer, Titus Williams. And we are here with our roundtable policy, public policy discussion. And we're going to start off with playing a little bit of a intro so that we can start talking about some of the issues which have arisen. And we will start off.
Okay. On to your friend and our president. I don't understand why something like this, something like everything that's going on around him has not shaken his approach to this pandemic. I don't understand why he won't embrace his role and take charge and tell the experts around him to make a plan to fight what's going on. What is his resistance, Chris?
Chris, I think he's done a good job. First of all, let's give him credit. A plus for handling the economic response. We faced a near economic collapse. He has signed off on 3 and now soon to be 4 bipartisan stimulus bills that are in the trillions of dollars to keep this economy going, keep the country going. You know, Barack Obama, when he started his presidency, started with a $1 trillion stimulus. He wouldn't allow any Republicans to be part of it. This president's just signed 4 bipartisan stimulus bills. So the idea that somehow he's some rogue president, he's working with Congress. He's doing the job he needs to do.
Wait, hold on. You Chris, know, how is he CNN, doing the job he needs to do? I don't want to talk about CNN, but hold on a second. We just had our worst quarter in history. We are relatively faring worse than other countries that dealt with this at similar scale and worse scale. I don't know how you give him an A plus. I wish you'd been one of my teachers in school. But don't make it about Obama. Obama inherited one of the worst economies in history and took some of the tools and added others, and we turned it around, Democrat and Republican, in unprecedented fashion. I don't know why you'd want to compare it to that. This is because of the pandemic. And this
president
refuses to own this situation. You heard him say, Chris, I take no responsibility. Why?
Well, he's not responsible for the virus. I think we all agree.
He's responsible.
Okay. So we are. That was in CNN audio from Cuomo pushes back as Trump confidant praises pandemic response. It's kind of interesting because Chris Ruddy, he works for Newsmax as a CEO, but he actually to start with, I wanted to just mention a little bit about his background. He actually graduated from Hebrew University in Jerusalem, St. John University in New York for a BA, and London School of Economics for an MA in public policy. But it's interesting because in his commentary for a New York Guardian, a conservative monthly periodical, noted some years ago concerning his debunking of the PBS documentary Liberators Fighting on Two Fronts in World War II, which stated that an all-black army unit had liberated the Buchenwald and the Dachau concentration camps in Germany. He called the documentary an example of how the media can manipulate facts and narratives to create a revised history of both believable and untrue, similar to the events of 9/11. So he's saying that in essence, that a documentary can defabricate the truth and make people believe in what is being said. I think he's probably read his own article with what he's saying right here. What do you think, Cliff?
That's pretty good, yeah. Listen, Ernesto's there, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hi, Ernesto.
Mm-hmm. Hi, hey, Cliff, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Doc.
Hey, how are you doing? Good.
Yeah.
You have something to say on that issue?
Yeah. Well, I think I was to talk about the election, but
yes.
I mean, I missed the very beginning of that in his Book and Wald, and I'm sorry, but I missed the very beginning of that because I was.
Oh yes.
I didn't know this was my section here.
That's fine.
The election and him putting off the election.
But Trump is actually. He said that Trump is doing a great job.
Well, that's outrageous. To give him an A+ is so outrageous. And I'm glad he brought up that. Why would he compare this to Obama's situation when we had an economy that was about to collapse at the time that Obama took over?
Right.
And, of course, George Bush and them raped the country before he left. And, with them going up to the Capitol, asking for, $600 billion or something like that.
Okay.
And they had like a sheet of paper or something. To compare that to what, Trump is just, he can't tell the truth.
Well, scientific opinions vary over time based on facts and scientific research with peer-reviewed scrutiny, not political whims. So we're going to move on to the next topic. The ABC News audio, Trump suggests delaying 2020 election, a power designated to Congress. Ernesto will be talking about that.
This afternoon, we watched on as Vanessa Guillen's story drew the attention of the most powerful man in this country. President Trump called the soldier from Houston very extraordinary and promised before cameras that her Houston family has his support.
Yo quiero que usted me ayude a que se haga justicia por mi niña.
In Spanish, the heartbroken mother of Houstonian Vanessa Guillen, Gloria Guillen, asked the President of the United States to help in her family's quest for justice.
It hit me very hard. I saw what happened to your daughter, Vanessa, who is a spectacular person and respected and loved by everybody, including in the military.
President Donald Trump promised a full investigation into the 20-year-old soldier's brutal murder and dismemberment. Vanessa's 16-year-old sister, Lupe, who's been a voice for the fallen service member, spoke directly to Mr. Trump.
The way they treat Vanessa, they treated us. No transparency, no respect. They did not respect our pleading. They did not respect our pleading of my mother. And they did not respect my sister.
In the extraordinary meeting between this Texas family and the leader of the free world, Lupe and her sister Myra did not shy away from expressing their ongoing frustration with Fort Hood leadership, telling POTUS, the army failed Vanessa.
I want to point out, how is it that her chain of command failed?
Trump vowed they'll get to the truth, saying the FBI and DOJ will review the case.
So we're going to get to the bottom of it. And how could it have happened when nobody knew about it at all? They must have known.
Justice for Vanessa! Justice for Vanessa!
The exchange followed an explosive day in our nation's capital as supporters took to the streets.
Justicia para Vanessa! Justicia para Vanessa!
Demanding the hashtag I Am Vanessa Guillen bill be passed by Congress.
Okay, that was a ABC 13 news, iNews Witness News audio. I will help President Trump pledges to pay for Vanessa Guillen's funeral. And what do you think about that, Rochelle? This seems to be really something bizarre. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm glad that they got an opportunity to have that meeting, first of all, so that it could be publicized. That's one thing. And then also so that maybe he will later understand that she is entitled to full military honor, so he doesn't need to pay her funeral expenses. That would be the first point. And then secondly, that you know, they talk about the family being disrespected. They talk about how the mother, and I can only imagine as a mother, of being shut out and not being a part of the process, and how the military, basically the army, failed her and her family. But it's more than just the army. It's the entire the entire whole military process, period. All of it. Okay. It's a deeper stain than just the Army. And there's so many more. Lavinia Johnson, you had. Mm-hmm. She was killed in Afghanistan. You right. have other suicides. Tina Priest, who was killed in Iraq. You have so many others who have walked that walk, and no one has cried out for them because it's not known. They're all being subjected to being under suicide as the ailment of how they die. But when you look at it in its entirety, you know, there is something going on. Something more needs to be done for Hannah Gutherman, for Melissa Hobart, for Jeanette Dunn, mm-hmm. for Kamisha Block, for Marisol Herrera, for Keisha Morgan, for Gloria Davis, for Denise Lanamore. There are so many more, so many more. Melissa Vallis, Alisa Renee Peterson, and on, Clara Durkin, Jennifer Validia, Valdia. So, you know, it's more than just Vanessa. What needs right. to be done is something that the military and the DOD has to come to terms, and Congress come to terms that these hearings are fine, okay? The hearings only expose a lot of the unknown that many of the public or much of the public is not aware of. So this is like, we're okay, we're going to do something. This is a Band-Aid over it, but we have to continue this public protest because something concrete has to be put in place. You know where they say, leave no veteran behind. Veterans have walked around. We put that on our civilian uniforms. We walk around with that proudly to say that we're part of that process of not leaving veterans behind. Everybody sees it, and they look at it, oh, that's nice, okay? But what are we doing for Congress? They have to have some action. They have to change that slogan, number one, from to care for he who bears the burden of it. We have to look at that because women are being left out of that process altogether. We have to look at having an independent non-military investigation, you know, with the exception of maybe one JAG officer. They need to have polygraph tests. They need to have cameras in all common areas that are not secret, top secret clearance. And it comes down to really how much is the armed forces and the president's office and chain of command willing to do to protect women in the military. That's what it all boils down to, not paying for a funeral. We need to see and hear something else that is concrete and something that makes sense, because that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, you know, and I think I agree with you, Rochelle, totally, because one of the things is that, you know, Vanessa, her mother, Gloria Guillen, and her sisters, Lupe and Myra, we want to extend our condolences to you from America's Hero Group for the loss of your daughter and your sister. And so we are really deeply feeling this ourselves as veterans that you lost that life in your life. And so, you know, the point you were making, you know, I'm wondering how politicized this is as well, because right now we have 157,000 people who died from the coronavirus and we don't hear anything. And then all of a sudden now this is important. We've had veterans dying all the time. We had veterans who died at the hands of Russian hitmen that were brought into the picture to kill three of our Marines recently. And this is happening all over the world. And we need to start thinking about when people make statements like that, that they are for real and they're going to be doing things for veterans in actual tangible terms, that concrete terms that are going to make a difference in our lives. But thank you so much, Rochelle.
And let me just add that those women's names that I called out had been sexually assaulted before right. they were killed.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So, yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to another news clip. It's ABC News audio. Trump suggests delaying 2020 election, a power designated to Congress. And we're going to have the esteemed Nestor Borges attorney comment on that.
We want to have an election. I'd love to see voter ID. But this is the opposite of voter ID. The Democrats love it. The Republicans hate it. We all agree that absentee voting, mail-in ballots, will lead to the greatest fraud You know, we talk about Russia, Russia, Russia for 2.5 years, and then they found nothing, and there was nothing. But they talk Russia, Russia, Russia. They talk China. They talk all of these countries. They say they get involved in our elections. This is easy. You can forge ballots. This is much easier for foreign countries. Go ahead, Steve.
The election is probably a non-starter. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I just feel I don't want to delay. I want to have the election. But I also don't want to have to wait for 3 months and then find out that the ballots are all missing and the election doesn't mean anything. That's what's going to happen, Steve. That's common sense. And everyone knows it. Smart people know it. Stupid people may not know it. And some people don't want to talk about it. But they know it. And, no, we want to have an election where people actually go in. And what's your name? My name is so-and-so. Boom, you signed the book like I've been doing for years. It's very, very unfair to our country. If they do this, our country will be a laughingstock all over the world because everyone knows it doesn't work.
Okay, so he wants to delay the elections but not the school reopenings. Okay, Ernesto, you take it away.
Well, yeah, certainly. Well, you know, and as Cliff knows, I worked for the election board, Illinois State Board of Elections, 1974 to 1982. And I've seen a lot of elections, and certainly, you know, this law went into effect in 1845, setting the date of the elections. Now, as we know, the different states can have primaries whenever they decide. Those parties can decide when to hold their primaries. But a general election, presidential election, is set by law, and the president knows that. I'm sure his handlers have told him that, and he just wants to throw that out there. So that if, when he loses, he's going to try to hold things up and say, especially if it's a close election. If there's a close election, we're going to have a problem with this man. If it's a runaway, then he may go ahead and leave on January the 20th, as he should, and he probably will leave before then. But he cannot change it. And everybody knows that. It's all over the news. People have told him that. He's just setting the stage for some kind of election contest and claim foul, as he did with the first election in 2016. He talked about how it was rigged and this and that, and not thinking he was going to win, quite frankly. Right. And that's why he was saying then that it's rigged. Now he's going to say it's rigged, and he's the president claiming that it's rigged already. It's preposterous. And he's just setting the stage for his complaint when he loses. And they'll just have to handcuff him and take him out of the White House, I imagine, on January 20th.
I know you want to say something about that, Cliff.
Handcuff him. I love it.
And drag him out by his own secret service.
Drag him out, yeah.
And his military is commander-in-chief. But that's all feeding to the base in case it's close, in case there's some, you know, I mean, you look at Bush and Gore, you know, that was all decided down in Florida. And had the Supreme Court not stopped the counting of the ballots, Gore would have probably been the president. So he's setting the stage for a close event. And it's unfortunate that we have someone like this in the White House, especially at the time that we're honoring John Lewis, who fought and sacrificed and put his life in danger just to register the vote to vote. Yes. People don't seem to realize what many of us went through just to get the right to register, not even to vote. And you have people out here who won't even vote, and to me, which is the deplorables. Who won't even bother to cast a ballot after what people like John Lewis and Dr. King went through and Reverend Lawson and so many more, and Medgar Evers and all the others who fought and died and were beaten when there was no press around little press.
Wasn't that Lewis eulogy unbelievable?
Unbelievable.
Okay, we have to move on to the next topic. Okay. Yeah. We have one more topic we're going to talk
about. Thanks, Ernesto.
Thank you so much. But we have Los Angeles Times Supreme Court sides with Trump on building a border wall with diverted military funds. And we're going to have Sean Claiborne, talk about that after the playing it.
I'm sorry. Would you repeat? You're fading out on me.
It's Los Angeles Times.
Hello.
Oh, it's just an article. Okay, so I guess Mr. Claiborne is going to be talking about an article that's on that's referred to this subject. So, Sean, maybe you can give us a little bit of an overview of why they are diverting these military funds and whether it's really proper for the government to do this.
Right. So the Supreme Court has allowed Donald Trump to divert $6 billion from the defense budget to building the border wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. And so it was a very narrow decision, 5-4 vote. Now, this is after the lower court said it was unlawful to do so. Now, there's a lot of backstory to this, and there's a lot of points to really pick out. Back in 2016, before Trump became commander-in-chief of the U.S. military and president of the United States, as a candidate, he said that Mexico was going to pay for the wall. Okay. Well, I guess evidently that's not the case. I guess we're going to be paying for this wall. So $6 billion being diverted from the defense budget to go and cover this wall. How do we get here? So in 2017, mm-hmm. Trump issued an executive order to start the wall. So the wall actually started going under construction back in 2017. Okay. But nothing got started because there was no money to build the wall. Where was the money coming from? Mexico wasn't paying for it. So what happened after that, Trump's administration tried to kind of sneak it into the budget of 2018. Okay. So that led us into the government standoff. The Congress, and this was almost bipartisan, would not pass a budget with money going towards building a wall.
Right.
So yeah, we had that 35-day government shutdown.
Right, because the Constitution says no money shall be drawn from the Treasury but in consequence of appropriations made by law. Right.
So that was part of the sticking point to what the Constitution says, that the president has to have an imminent danger going for an imminent cause, and it can't be something that the Congress has already denied. It's going back to that 2018 congressional defeat. So in 2019, after Congress already said, no, we're not putting money towards the wall, which is strike one. Strike two is, where is the imminent danger? There's nothing new or imminent about this because we've known about this problem for decades, okay, which is really not much of a problem because actually immigration and border crossings have gone down dramatically since the 70s.
Okay.
So then came 2019. Next at bat, Trump declared a national emergency at the border, a crisis of sorts that America was in imminent danger as a matter of national security to fund the construction of the border wall.
Yeah, because
that went back and forth in Congress.
Yeah, because also the states say no money shall be drawn from the Treasury but in consequence of appropriations made by law, and Congress did indeed deny the requested funds for the border wall. So this just really does not fit anything. But thank you, Sean, for that. And we're going to go to a little bit of an audio that's going to be talking about one of our heroes that just recently passed. And we're going to a CNN audio. Obama
takes
a jab.
We may no longer have to guess the number of jelly beans in a jar in order to cast a ballot. But even as we sit here, there are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision, even undermining the Postal Service in the run-up to an election that's going to be dependent on mail-in ballots so people don't get sick. Now, I know this is a celebration of John's life. There are some who might say we shouldn't dwell on such things. But that's why I'm talking about it.
Yeah, we lost a tremendous champion, an icon of civil rights, and I watched the funeral as his coffin was taken across the bridge on the horse-drawn
Edmund
carriage
Pettus, yeah.
On the Pettus Bridge.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that was. Okay. Mm-hmm. Big speech by a number of people, but that gentleman was just nothing short of just great. You know what he was.
Well, you know what I liked about Trump is, I mean, about Obama was saying we should treat him as a founding father also, and Dr. King, because you know if we talk about you know establishing a more perfect union, then this union isn't complete yet, and it's still growing into what it was meant to be. And so, in a sense, he's a founding father just as much as George Washington and Jefferson and anybody else. Mm-hmm. to help this union, and I liked Obama suggesting that.
The
founding fathers aren't just the guys in the 1700s, but also people here who changed this nation and helped to make it what it is and what it should be, at least.
Okay, we're running short on time, but Cliff, why don't you take us to the closeout and give us some final thoughts that you have on this, because you've been an icon yourself in the civil rights movement.
Well, I appreciate that. But I was just amazed at comments that were made by a number of people, including, I think we were all proud of our president, weren't we? I think that. I think Obama was just great. They were all good, but they had so much to talk about that a lot of folks, Dr. Arnold just don't. Didn't know a lot of things, but it was an education for a lot of people.
That's right, and the most important thing he said: get out and vote, be
That's
counted,
right.
Take action. Okay, so we're going to go now. Thank you very much to all of our panelists,
done
a great job as usual. We're going to move on to a commercial break, and we will be right back. Stay with us, America's Heroes Group.